Have an opinion on what the Patriots have done thus far in the draft? Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Fred and the Gang, live from Patriots Draft Headquarters inside Gillette Stadium.
All right, back here in Gillette Stadium. Strippers has done some research, and according to CBS Sports, they say the injury to Boyce may have taken place at the combine or during preparation for the workout. Boyce suffered soreness following Indianapolis, and the injury was discovered during x-rays after that. According to a source close to Boyce, the receiver has since had a screw inserted at the base of his toe, as is customary to promote stabilization of the joint. As such, Boyce was unable to participate in TCU's Pro Day Thursday. Recovery time is generally 6 to 8 weeks, which means he's expected to be 100% in time for the May minicamps. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better.
I'm fine with it.
I mean, the guy wasn't the 14th pick in the draft.
Right. He was a fourth-round pick, and he does something that they don't have anybody else on the roster that does. That's why I like it.
All right. Thanks for that, Strippers. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Wayne is in Florida, and he wants to talk about a mallet trade. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, how are you? First of all, gentlemen, I love your show. And being down here in Florida, I'm a Boston native originally from Peabody.
Nice. My neck of the woods.
I've followed the Patriots since 1960, since their inception. So that gives you a little idea about my age. And I'm... you know, as always, I'm scratching my head about some of the picks that Belichick makes, but he always seems to get it right. My question is, do you think they might still trade Mallett for next year for a future? Trade him now for a future for next year?
Well, I think the closer you get to the season, the less likely. But, yeah, I think he's on the block. I think, you know now there was – one of the teams, I don't know if it was the Browns, said that the Patriots really aren't serious about trading him, which could mean that they made an offer and or what the Patriots were asking for was just out of the ballpark and it couldn't be considered a serious ask. But I think they could still trade him.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility. I agree with Fred. The closer you get to the season, probably the chances drop, because I think if you want to get a guy like that, you got to get him into your system as quickly as possible and get him as many reps as you can.
You know, now a lot of people are saying, well, what if he has, you know, he lights it up in the preseason? Well, yeah, okay. If that could happen and then some team jumps on him for next year, for 2014. But I just don't see that happening. I mean, to me, the more he plays, the less likely a team's going to trade for him.
You don't have to make a laugh about it. Jeez, Fred.
What have we seen that others?
I agree.
You know, what are we not seeing about this guy?
How about this Matt Barkley quote? I'm going to remember this weekend for a long time, and so are the teams that didn't draft me. Have we heard those kinds of words before?
Yeah.
Every guy that drops.
Wayne, thanks for the call. Wayne in Florida.
Thanks for the kind words too.
Could be worse. We could be the Seahawks. They just made a selection and they have 9 remaining.
I saw that and I got a little nauseous just thinking about it.
Yeah, we're gonna really stack our boards. Sergio from California. I like Dobson and Boyce. However, I believe they both need to develop. Why did the Patriots pass on Patton, a more polished receiver who can maybe start week one? Bill's got me scratching my head. I hope he gives these two talented guys time to develop, unlike he did with Price and Tate.
Well, the good news is another wide receiver finally went, but it was not Quentin Patton. It was Chris Harper from Kansas State.
I liked him.
So there's something going on with Quentin Patton, which is keeping people from picking him.
Patton pending.
Somebody said they liked the puns. So, yeah.
Actually, someone said the puns are killing him.
No, and then somebody...
Yes, that was the words. Now, you could take... You took that one way.
I thought it was funny.
You took it one way. Evidently, Fred took it another.
Right. John in Winnipeg, overall, I'm happy with last night. I think we took positions of need with the first 3 picks. If these were the guys the coaches wanted, I'm happy. I like listening to the conference calls of both Dobson and Collins. I'm excited for those picks. The head scratcher is the safety. For me, it's not that they took him if they really liked him. It's where they took him. I'm sure they had him graded reasonably high. How much do you think they pay attention to other scouting sources and general grading of a player? My feeling is they don't care about any other thinking, and that can hurt them because they might take a guy they like way too early. What do you think? Yeah, I mean, when you say other sources, if you're talking about Lindy's and our lads, and I don't think they take those into consideration.
Not at all.
No, but what about the National Scouting Services that a lot of teams use that they do,
that
not,
they
subscribe
do not subscribe to? That's different. Blesto, is that still around?
I believe so.
There's National a couple of National Scouting Service.
Fred, do you not have an answer?
No, Paul says they don't subscribe to them.
No, yeah. But what about Fred, the fact that
Andy
they
said
don't?
The same thing. They don't.
And therefore don't necessarily know the market. Is that a
Well,
that
then,
a
now you have
theory.
To assume that other teams are you know, really going by those reports as
we
well.
We know that. Teams use those. Yeah, you don't know to what degree.
Right.
But you have to assume to some degree they use those. And if the Patriots don't subscribe, they don't have that.
Well, I wonder when the Patriots or any team say, you know, we really feel like, you know, Team X wanted that guy, so we had to move up. I wonder what the source of that info is.
Right.
Like, is it a mole that they have on that team? You know, is it a media guy that's close to the team that they talk? Where did they get that information from?
Probably some of all of that.
Yeah.
But I think it's a fair question to ask, why wouldn't you subscribe to one of those services or all of those services?
Well, if you think your scouts are better or yeah, as good.
But what's the difference?
What's the downfall of having more information?
Well, you're
not
just,
saying you have to use it or draft by it.
You could completely ignore it just like you do now.
Just so you know.
But what, you know, in a business that everything is just another piece of the puzzle.
Right. It's a really big puzzle, Bill said.
Why wouldn't you just use all the pieces that you have at your disposal?
Well, maybe they think that that's too much duplication of effort. It's like, you know, we have our scouts looking at them. I'm paying our scouts to do it. Why would I listen to someone else looking at the same thing more than my own guy?
No. It didn't say you had to listen. Why would you not want the information?
If I'm Bill Belichick, I want access to those reports too, so I can do a study and see
when you say
ultimately whose reports end up being
more
accurate.
When you say they don't subscribe to them, you're saying they don't even look at them?
I don't believe they subscribe.
Unless
I believe you have to pay. Yeah,
unless
to get
something
them.
Has changed recently, they do not subscribe to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is some value in seeing what others are seeing.
Right.
Even if you're not going to, you know.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. You know, so.
It's not a huge deal that they don't subscribe to these services, but to me, it would run counter to a lot of the stuff that Bill says about just part of the, you know, part of the puzzle. We want as much information as we can. We meet with these guys. We meet with them at the combine. We have pro days. We have personal visits on the road. They come here. Why wouldn't you have another place
to get a report
on? For example,
if I knew that Miami does subscribe to those and really puts a lot of weight in them, I would want to know what Miami is looking at.
Another reason.
I also don't know how much they cost.
Probably really expensive.
Right. So, I mean, I guess it could be cost prohibitive if you're going to have a large scouting department as opposed to spending the money on that. Maybe that's part of it. I have no idea. It's just, I think it's an interesting question.
It is.
But getting back to Harmon, and I think we touched on this last night. Harmon.
See what you did there, Paul.
Not Mark. Not Ronnie. I still don't really understand the pick to where he fits. More so than even whether he should have been drafted, shouldn't have been drafted, should have gone high, low, middle, who cares?
Gunner.
What is he? I mean.
You don't draft gunners.
Thanks.
Well, they do here.
No, but I'm being serious. Like you,
I'm just being serious. I think he thinks of him as a special teams player.
So Nate Ebner.
So you sign him as a free agent.
So Nate Ebner is
maybe.
It just feels like that's a pick that overlaps somewhere.
Yeah,
there's a lot of those.
Andy, I couldn't possibly, could not possibly agree with you more.
There are a lot of those.
It just doesn't make any sense on any level.
Is he unseating Tavon Wilson? Is he unseating Steve Gregory? Is he unseating, you know, Adrian Wilson? It feels like it's an overlap of somewhere. Nate Ebner was your special team safety you drafted last year.
Mm-hmm.
Did that not work out?
They have too many special teams players and not enough starters. That's the problem.
Eric's back.
the Packers just did a double dip, Andy.
What'd they get?
Running backs. They just took Jonathan Franklin after already taking Eddie Lacy.
I went upstairs to try to take part in the conference call with Josh Boyce, only to find out that it had already happened. But I did speak to some of our friends in the media who informed me about how it went. He wasn't that great an interview, but he gave away some decent information, including he was high school teammates with RG3.
Nice.
He has the same agent as Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. He has met Brady before and has worked out with Edelman before, so he already has a little bit of a rapport with the...
But not Brady.
He hasn't worked out with him.
He's met Tom Brady, but he's worked out with Edelman and met Brady. So he has at least some personal contact with those guys already. And he ran...
That's actually a really, really, really good piece of information. For this whole theory that, you know, Brady doesn't work well with young receivers,
mm-hmm.
to have the agent as a tie-in and have some familiarity with the person, the human being,
yeah.
I actually really like that information.
It is.
I think that's significant.
He ran the 4.3 at the combine on the foot injury and had the surgery early March. So if you go by that 6 to 10 week time frame,
he'll be fine.
He should be able to participate in some of the spring practices, it sounds like.
Yeah, I don't know if you were here when I read it, but Stripper sent us some stuff from CBS Sports that says what you just said.
Oh, okay.
About that.
Okay.
So they said he could be ready for May.
Okay.
Know.
Well, yeah. Then that's all right then.
Yeah. I'm feeling better.
So I'm feeling a little better.
I love the pick. Yeah. Love it. It's the best Boyce they made.
The best
see
voice
what you did there.
See, choice.
Choice.
Oh, boys.
That's bad. No, that's just poor to me.
Yeah, well, it's day three. What do you expect?
Yeah. Little peanut gallery laughing there.
Craig writes in, I think I figured it out. The Patriots are part of a yet-to-be-announced television show where they give regular college students a chance to play in the NFL. This has become a lost weekend. I'm actually considering interacting with my wife and kids.
Oh, no.
Thanks for the great coverage. See,
pros versus Joes. at training camp.
If they hadn't picked the second guy from Rutgers, I would not be...
Right.
There'd be no grounds for that email.
That's the black mark on this draft right now.
Yeah.
The Aqib Talib pick was just made, I believe. Tampa Bay?
Yeah, 126.
William Goldston from Michigan State.
Cousin of Vernon.
Of Vernon?
Vern.
Hopefully he'll be a better player.
He's not.
Yeah, he's just okay. He's nothing special.
He's a lot like
the swing and a miss.
He looks pretty good in a uniform.
Kevin from Cologne, Germany. First of all, thanks for the great job. You're the best.
I know.
This is actually my first time writing in, and I just wanted to know if you would take a chance on Marcus Lattimore if he's still available in the seventh round. I understand that there is no need for running back right now, but I think there could be some potential. Oh, I think there's a lot of potential for Lattimore.
Seventh round?
I would.
If you have all three of those picks, then
sure,
yes.
Why not?
But if you only have one...
I have no problem with using a pick on a running back. I don't think Marcus Lattimore is going to pan out.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because, first of all, I think he was big and slow to begin with.
That's what I think has been overblown by the knee injury. Everybody says, you know, without the injury, top five talent. Yeah, no thanks. He's not even freaking close.
He was always a volume runner at South Carolina. It's going to be 35 carries for 110 yards. Tremendous, you know, strength, character. All this, I couldn't say enough nice things about Marcus Lattimore from everything I've read, seen, heard about him. Highly productive at a high level of football. But big, plodding kind of running back who completely blew out his knee. I don't think he's going to make a big impact in the NFL. I hope he proves me wrong, though, because I like him a lot.
Got another guy down. Can't possibly get up.
Jeff Howe just said, I don't have any idea who's playing soccer here at Gillette Stadium, but there have been at least four torn ACLs in this game.
No, see, there haven't. They act like they tore ACL.
That's what he said.
There's nothing wrong with them. They're just big bitches.
That's what he was intimating. I didn't read the whole tweet.
John in South Carolina, hate guys in blood orange. Looking at highlights, boys, looks thick. Like he might be able to take a hit or two. He runs away from people after he catches the ball. So
yes, because he's fast.
Yeah, we're all loving Boyce now.
We're all thrilled.
This guy runs a 4.3 on a broken foot. So imagine what happens when that thing heals. This guy's going to be sub-4.
It is going to be one of the stories of training camp for like the internal like things we do. We always notice, he's not as fast as Bethel. Or he is, you know. Is he special speed? Because some of these guys are supposed to be special speed, have not been special speed.
Let's see. That's Todd says, going to this draft, I would have said we needed help at pass rusher, wide receiver, defensive back, and that's exactly what we drafted.
Yep.
So how can we be upset? Bill mentioned last night free agent signings are still an option. So what position would you target to add some depth, or are there any players still available worth going after?
Yeah, we're so far away, it's hard to even forecast
that. Did Jesse Williams get
that.
Picked when I was out?
No.
I mean, they're going to need depth at offensive line, so they'll be offensive lineman, defensive lineman brought in.
Kicker.
There'll be a kicker brought in, without a doubt. And it won't be just some jag. It'll be someone that has, you know, some potential probably. You know, and I think a lot of our fans would welcome that because, you know, judging from some of the comments we got during the season, not everyone sold on Gutkowski in terms of consistency and clutch.
Right. Mike Reese was taking a step toward running him out of town.
You know? So I think they should look. If they think there's a good kicker out there, they should bring him in.
Should I go to my big board kickers?
Sure.
Dustin Hopkins, maybe, out of FSU. Kalib Stugas. Zach Brown Band. Brett Beyer.
Two different guys?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, I'm done here.
Okay.
Brad Wing, if we need a punter. Wing. Underclass punter.
Too crazy like Wing.
Jeevan writes in, I don't mind what Bill's done so far. Although they could have taken Harmon a little later, potentially in the fourth round, I don't mind Bill taking his players
potentially Monday afternoon.
They could have probably gotten him in the fourth round of the 2014 draft.
I don't mind Bill taking his players if Harmon is his man. Is it me or did Bill seem happier than normal in the press conference?
Are you freaking kidding me?
No.
He was not happy at all. He was mean.
I thought he was fine.
He was not happy.
I thought he was the same.
I agree.
Kind of was the same.
I agree with you. That's average Joe Bill Belichick.
Right.
He was cranky and irritable. That's the way he is on a normal basis.
And he chastised people for listening to his answers and then asking him questions based on the information he gave and shot down the information he gave. So if that would annoy you in any way, it was very annoying and he was mean.
If you are going to take another wide receiver, even though we double-dipped already, what do you guys think about Ryan Swope and Duke's Connor Vernon?
Nah.
I don't know Vernon. I don't really like Swope.
I don't like Swope much at all. Quentin Patton finally just got picked.
So Patton no longer pending.
Oh, that was good.
Who did he go to, the 49ers, Paul?
Yes.
Okay.
Who did Atlanta take?
Boy, the Niners are having themselves a good draft.
Malachi Goodman.
Who's that?
Defensive end from Clemson.
Oh, he's a good man.
I actually kind of liked him.
I did, too.
Looked at you nice at the combine?
No, talking about the tape that we watched.
Paul made out with him at the combine.
Oh.
That's
Is Golston William related to...
Are you freaking kidding me?
Unbelievable. The man is unbelievable.
You're an embarrassment, Fred. Open your ears.
Is he?
Open your... Are your shoulders so fat now that they cover your ears?
Is he?
Yes.
Okay.
His cousin. Why don't you listen to us?
There's no reason. Ryan writes in, one, more likely on final cut, four wide receivers or five tight ends?
I don't understand the question.
Wait, after the final cuts, is it more likely to have four wide receivers or five tight ends?
Five tight ends.
Five tight ends.
They're not going to have only four wide receivers.
Yeah.
More likely to
be... So he said, is it more likely that we'll have four wide receivers on the roster or five tight ends?
Right. More likely
five tight ends.
I thought you just said they were not going to have four wide receivers.
Right,
and they have five.
That's why it's more likely that there'll be five tight ends.
So you,
there won't be.
How many wide receivers do you think they're going to be? Three,
five, or
six.
More?
More than four.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I had another problem.
Yeah. More problems.
Yeah,
with
math.
Paul Perillo.
The math. No,
I was told there'd be
Paul.
No math.
More problems for Pauly on the math problems.
More likely to be cut: Rozai Dowling or Jeff Demps.
Demps
Dowling
won't get cut
because Demps will be
Dowling is more likely
list.
To be cut.
Reserve did not report, doesn't
yeah,
get cut.
Right, exactly. Let him dangle.
Dowling, yep. I agree with the boys.
I hope Demps dangles in perpetuity. I am not happy with the way he manipulated this situation for his own gain.
Right. What was the term they had for making everybody stay in their houses last week? Shelter in place.
Oh,
shelter in place.
Shelter in place. Yeah. That was a shelter in place like phrase that you just used.
Yep.
They're going to make them dingle in perpetuity, says Andy Hart.
Who starts week one? Adrian Wilson or Tavon Wilson?
Adrian. Or Steve Gregory.
If Steve Gregory's still here, I'm going to go neither.
Well, they put three safeties on the field.
No.
Never know.
I do think that Steve Gregory could go.
But what kind of acceleration would there be? What did they give him for bonus money? Anything?
Oh, that's a trip.
Oh, I can't believe we passed on Quentin Patton. He also served as a punter in junior college.
Well, there you go.
I just can't believe we ignored that versatility.
That versatility, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Plays the kicking game.
And there it is.
Yeah.
That's a good fake punt, though.
Let's see, the Fox in New Mexico. I know I'm alone here, but I'm extremely excited about the drafting of the Rutgers duo and what it says about the organization's current values. Oh. For a generation, Bill drafted guys like Maroney and Merriweather based solely on physical attributes. He tried to mold the organization in his image, saying, I'll get Adalys Thomas to buy into my philosophy. He's done a 180 in the way he brings in new hires, now building the organization from the bottom up. Just imagine the culture that the secondary is going to have at the office. McCourty sees his protege, Logan Ryan, has his workout partner, Tavon Wilson, Daron Harmon, and Kyle Arrington have stamps of approval that the outside world is screaming they don't deserve. Dennard looks at Bill and sees the guy who went to bat for him in court. Tlaib and Adrian Wilson are part of a system that treats them with open arms instead of pariahs. These guys have fierce reasons to believe in the organization and each other. There's a chemistry experiment going on here that Harvard Business School would applaud. Why would Harvard Business School have a chemistry?
This is one of the dumbest emails
I've optimistic ever the result will be remarkably cohesive unit on Sundays.
So you're expecting this guy to start, is what you're saying.
And for all that fierce loyalty, as soon as they're all free agents, they'll go to whoever pays them the most money.
Did he include Arrington as a problem?
No, as a guy that the Patriots believe in while outsiders don't. He was in that lump.
Okay.
Which is probably true.
Oh, certainly true. 8 million reasons that they believe him more than anybody else.
So, but the only way the communication can be good between those guys is if they're actually on the field.
Right. Well, plus, forgetting the communication, the only way that any of that experiment can work is if the players can play.
Right.
If they can't play, the experiment fails. Mm.
Well, that's
Kyle Arrington, people complained, was not that good, and that's why they were surprised that he got so much money. So if he can't play, it doesn't matter.
Well, that's true.
About any kind of a chemistry experiment.
But I think the Fox is saying that, you know.
Yeah, he's saying that they're all going to try hard because they have this fierce
situation
belief.
Is going to
the Patriots believed in them. It's going to bring more out of them that's
right.
actually
the
there.
The situation is going to bring the best out of all of
and
them.
And that's silly.
Yeah.
Silly. I mean, it's
you're calling the Fox in New Mexico silly?
It's downright silly. Because if you don't have the ability to play, you don't. I don't know. These new guys, I mean, we haven't seen the – I'm taking the draft class out of this because we don't know. Obviously, we haven't seen them on the field yet. But, you know, Rasai Dowling isn't going to be a better cornerback because the Patriots believed in him more than everybody else did and drafted him two rounds earlier than everybody else had him slated to be. That doesn't work that way. He doesn't stay healthy as a Patriot because the Patriots believed in him when he couldn't stay healthy any time in his career. And everybody else didn't like him because he couldn't stay healthy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. If he can play, he can play. We'll see.
Wow. The Fox has been put in his place.
He's been outfoxed.
Tom says, hey, guys, what do you think of Tavares King, wide receiver from Georgia? I think it'd be a good pick later on day four. I know he's nothing special athletically, but he's smart, has good hands, and had a consistent
production. Sounds like a Patriot.
Had consistent production his last 3 years at Georgia.
Why are we looking for guys that aren't especially talented?
No, he's not a bad player. You know, especially we're getting to the bottom of the fourth round here now. You know, these are the kinds of guys that are going to get.
They already took their wide receivers. They're going to live.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do another wide receiver. But
John wants to know: do we still have the rights to Brian Waters, and does he count against the cap?
I believe he does.
He does not count against the cap. He didn't get paid.
Right.
He was on the did not report list. He's not getting paid.
Right. But they still retain his rights.
Yes. Andy, what was it?
Told, right? The
Andy?
Contract told?
What?
Dangling in perpetuity.
Dangling in perpetuity.
Yeah.
Just so you know, if you had 144 when Andy runs out of gas.
You win! I said an hour and a half.
Yeah, you were close.
I just almost dozed off.
Pull the Mike Francesa over here.
Woo. Maybe Fred did doze off. Or no, die.
Just go.
The Harvard guy, I believe, just got picked.
Oh, Jusinik?
Yeah, Baltimore.
Jusinik?
Jusik. Jusik, I believe it's pronounced, but I'm not positive.
Where'd he go?
Baltimore.
That's a good pick for them. That's a good pick.
Lucas says the 49ers are killing this draft. Dynasty 2.0.
They
come on, Bill,
it.
Move up and make it interesting. Each one
they
of you name one
it.
Player you would still really
talent,
like, except Fred, of course.
Jesse Williams.
Yeah,
I'm not sure there's a player available that I really like at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't.
I think Jesse Williams might have been in my top 20 big board. He was certainly in the next group, I think.
And it's hilarious that we're into we're three picks away from round five before we get, we still don't have B-Low's first and second round picks.
Kevin writes in, I wasn't able to listen when Logan Ryan was picked, and I just wanted to hear your take on him. I looked at some of his tape, and his hips don't look that smooth.
Hips don't lie?
Who cares about his hips?
I actually like.
Oh, another death.
I like.
Oh, my God.
I like Logan Ryan.
Yeah, I did too.
I don't think I did.
Is it time to like stop saying looking at tape? Do we need to change that?
What do you mean?
Because it's not tape anymore.
No.
No one uses tape anymore.
No, we still say that. We in the scouting business, we still say that.
What did they used to call it when it was like the reel?
Well, that was
tape. His reel, his highlight reel.
His reel.
Yeah.
So they did change it to tape.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Fred's right. Maybe we should need to change it to disc or digi.
His digi?
Or just his video.
That's not fun.
Yeah.
Too many syllables?
Yeah.
Or as Gresh would say, the eye in the sky doesn't lie.
Let's see. Tim writes in. He's in Aptos. Fred, you just gave Boyce his new nickname, Sub 4. What is Bill's problem? Did you see his interview last night?
Yeah, we were there.
Unfortunately, yes.
I almost got into a fight with him.
I wish you had.
Michael Silver just put Lattimore now. Does that mean that he got taken or what?
So Sub 4 is the new nickname for Boyce.
I don't care for it, but whatever.
Andy, you're done.
No, I'm contributing.
Okay.
I woke up. I snapped out of my little funk.
Do you want a 5-hour energy?
No.
I think you might need it. Marcus Lattimore.
To where?
San Francisco.
Oh, the Niners are killing it.
Dynasty 2.0.
They've done this before, right? Frank Gore was hurt when they drafted him, right?
Yes.
So Gore to Lattimore.
Maybe he could just score a lot of touchdowns in the red zone for him?
Sure.
Who?
Lattimore.
Maybe.
They don't want to beat up Frank Gore.
Mm.
So we'll give it to the Crip.
Sergio in California, the question is not draft related, but I'd like to know when the Patriots visit the Bills, what hotels do they stay in? I'm going to my first opening day game and would like to know the best hotels in the area.
There aren't any. Ask Tom Brady.
Actually, stay in Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I mean,
that would be fun.
There's really only two big hotels. There's the Marriott in Buffalo and then that Adams Mark.
Oh, and the Adams Mark.
Right.
And,
lives
up to its
Andy?
Name.
No, but they redid it. That had a lot of construction. It's much nicer now.
And why did they, do that?
I know it's Adams Mark, but he need to leave it on my sheets. That's a gross hotel, Fred.
Yeah, you should stay in...
I just told you, they redid it.
Stay in Niagara Falls.
But does it not smell like smoke anymore?
Right, it smelled like smoke,
yeah, it did.
And there was like spunk or poo on the sheets.
Oh,
well, I didn't see anything on the sheets, but it definitely smelled like stale cigarette smoke everywhere.
You need a blue light to see the smoke.
Your best bet is not to stay in Buffalo. Stay in Niagara Falls, go enjoy that.
No, that ain't me, man. I'm from Buffalo.
And then drive down.
It's
only like half an hour.
Is it a half hour drive?
Yeah,
we're being serious. Yeah. If people remember, Tom Brady said his parents, you know, he thanked them to come in every game, even in Buffalo, where they don't have the nicest hotels.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a very nice place.
That's fact, not opinion.
That Marriott's not bad.
No, it's not bad, but
it's all relative.
They have the nice steakhouse in the.
They do, but if you're going to go to that part of the country or countries, if you want to
reconsider
Canada there.
Yeah.
No.
Reconsider.
I would say make it an event. Go to Niagara Falls. It's going to be what? Opening weekend of September.
The hotel in Rochester we stayed in was much nicer than the
hotel. And you can visit Montreal on the other side.
Yeah. Toronto.
I was going to say, I don't think that's
Montreal's a lot farther off.
Oh, okay.
But
Toronto, go to Toronto, go to Niagara Falls. Yeah, absolutely.
Cliff says, here's a game for you guys. Might involve minimal math. Oh, so Paul's out.
Yeah, I'm just going to save everybody the trouble and not pay attention to this.
You have three doors to pick from, and you can't see what's behind them. You were told that behind one is our dream deep threat, behind one is Kyle Long, and behind the other is Sergio Brown.
Oh, my God.
So you have a one-third chance of getting the deep threat. So the commissioner says, what door do you pick? Door number one, number two, or number three? Let's say Eric says door number one. Then the commish opens door number three, revealing Kyle Long. Now he asks you if you want to keep your original pick, door number one, or change it to door number two. What are the odds you'll get the deep threat if you stay with your first pick versus if you change your pick? They're the same. It's 50%
now. 50-50.
Right. So what's the...
I don't know.
Who is this?
Cliff.
You're not real fun at parties, are you, Cliff?
You should jump off it.
Wow.
Oh, you don't have to be mean.
Now he's wishing people dead.
You are a
No,
bad.
I didn't.
He's just so catty.
It could be a short Cliff.
You are a see you later. That guy was right.
Let's see. Michael says, why would we get Josh?
Wiley Coyote? He jumped off the cliff plenty of times, and he was fine.
It's a cartoon.
Michael says, why would we get Josh Boyce instead of Derek Rogers or Quentin Patton?
Rick Rogers is a criminal.
Belichick is picking odd players again.
Well, no, see, he does that's nowhere year. Near as odd as this. Did they pull the goalie?
No. You mean to come down here? Yeah, they did.
How do you? What is this?
The goalie can go anywhere in soccer.
Yeah.
Can he use his hands?
No.
He can only use the hands inside the box.
So now, if they get a breakaway, he has to run?
Yes.
Wow, so this is like that extra, like hockey.
Yeah.
Right. Only the goalie stays out there.
The goalie stays out there, though. He doesn't come off.
Clinton Omaha, I really like the Boyce and Collins pick, but the others are just so.
Yeah, I agree.
But besides the Patriots draft, how do you rate the other teams' drafts in the division, and which NFL team won or lost the draft so far?
Niners won it by far.
Bills lost it.
I have no idea on the rest of the teams. The Jets, I thought, did okay. Buffalo, I thought, was terrible. I agree with Andy. And I think Miami has a chance to have done really well. But that's a big if.
Miami's boomer bust.
Deion Jordan has to pan out.
Yep. They're going to have either a great draft or a terrible one.
I like what the Niners have done, though. All around.
They did have a lot of picks, and they did do a good job.
But they did a good job with those picks.
Reed.
They picked guys who should be drafted at those spots.
Says Eric.
That's why they hate you.
What? Didn't they?
Because you tell everybody what they should have done.
Did they not pick players?
Like, you know more than
they do. Did they not pick talented
players? That's why people get mad at you.
Did they not? Did they or did they not?
I don't even know who they picked except for Marcus Lattimore. That's the last pick.
Eric Reed they picked, right?
Yes.
To take over for Goldson. That's a great pick for them. They also picked Lemon.
I liked Lemon Reed. Mm-hmm. I did like Eric Reed a lot. Lemon Year, I don't know a whole lot about.
Oh, we got a multicolored flag.
Mark writes in, hey, guys, I know it's probably too late to do this, but I'd love to see a series of blog posts, maybe during the dog days of the off season that are coming up, about how to watch film. I, like many others, really value Paul and Andy's work during the pre-draft process and love the fact that there is video of prospects on the website.
Eric watches it, too.
I just love how Eric just gets dismissed. Why is that, Eric?
Don't care.
I
can tell you, it doesn't bother you at all.
I just would like to know what the guys look for when they watch video on a player. I would find articles on these by position really interesting, and it would help me next year when I start watching player videos again.
Paul will do those in the coming weeks.
I mean, that's not a bad thing.
Offensive linemen?
No, all of them. You for each position, you create the standard. Okay, here's what you look for. Cornerback, for example. How does he backpedal? How does he?
Who am I?
Paul Perreault.
Well, you're looking for certain things. What are you looking for?
I have no idea. I just watch and I tell you what I like and what I don't like.
Oh, come on, Paul.
I'm dead serious. I watch a guy and I say like D. Milliner, I'll give you for an example. You brought up cornerbacks. It looked to me like his guy beat him off and got open a lot, and he made up for it when the ball was in the air. I think that's a dangerous way to play.
Okay, so you're looking for guys that, you know, can stay on a guy's hip, you know? And...
okay.
You know, offensive lineman.
Fill in
offensive
most
lineman.
Elementary cliche here.
You're looking for guys who, you know, can keep their feet under, keep their balance, don't extend themselves, use their hands well. Those are the kind of things.
I don't watch offensive
Don't
linemen.
Dismiss. One of our emailers asked
an honest
question.
I'm not dismissing the email. I'm dismissing you.
Why?
Because you think I'm qualified for something I'm not qualified for.
Oh, for God's sake. He's just asking.
What do I look for? I'm not a scout.
Andy, help me here.
Andy already passed it off on me. That's his help for you.
No, I think you're answering the question. I mean, you look for certain things.
Right. And so the emailer, who knows even less than you, Paul.
No, he doesn't.
Is just wondering what is it he should be looking for when he's watching these films. That's all.
I don't know.
Oh, for example,
I don't have the answer.
For example, when a wide receiver, when you're watching a wide receiver, you look to see how he catches the ball. Does he catch it with his hands, or does he let it hit his
right,
body?
Right, exactly.
Is he quick? Is he fast?
That's obvious,
is he neither?
But not everybody might know that.
Does he round his routes? Is he sharp in and out of his breaks? Does he have a, you know, decent route tree? Does he fight for the ball? Does he high point it? Does he track the ball well? Does he have good body control to get in position to make the catch?
There you go.
So you should have asked Andy. He had answers for
you. I asked all of you, but, you know.
You know all that, though.
Paul hijacked and poo-pooed the question.
No, you said it to me.
You just poo-pooed it.
I didn't poo-poo the question.
Yes,
I poo-pooed you.
This is going to be edited well later.
Poo-poo.
Spunk and poo-poo.
I'm blowing you off, not the
I'm
email.
Blowing you.
Wow.
Man, yesterday was the Steelers. Today it's Fred.
That's not what I said, Andy.
It will be when they edit it.
Jacob in Denmark.
Fifth round.
About that math question with the doors. Switch,
oh, please. I'm going to get all confused
switch
again.
To door number two, then there's a two-third chance that he will get the deep threat. Well, there's only two people left.
50-50.
If there's two people left, you know one isn't the deep threat.
Exactly.
And one is. So, I don't know.
Ignore that.
Rich says, it seems that everyone agrees that the passing system is complicated for receivers to grasp. Chad Jackson, Ocho Cinco, Bethel Johnson, etc. Why not make it easier? Seems to work for other teams.
Not as well as it works for the Patriots. They've generally had the best passing offense in football, or one of the top couple, for, what, 5 years now? 6 years? Do people understand what we're talking about?
I know.
I mean, you're talking about something that involves a lot of reading pre and post snap for what route the corner, the wide receiver is running based on the coverage, inside shade, outside shade, you know, where the safety is, with the line, you know, all of this crap. Don't you think that's the best way to do it?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Rather than saying, well, I run a corner here no matter what. I ran a slant here no matter what. Well, wait a minute. He has inside leverage. You're going to run right into him. Why would you run a slant here? Why wouldn't you run a combo route? You know, whatever.
Right. The point that you made is the overwhelming one. Someone argue with me about their production in the passing game.
No, but beyond that, someone could argue, well, that's because they have Brady. If they did it the other way, they'd be great too because they got Brady.
Well, but they may have to do an adjustment when they don't have Brady anymore.
Right.
That might actually happen, but they do have Brady now.
But
so why should they change it to fit wide receivers?
My bigger point is, doesn't it make sense that you adjust your attack based on the defense?
Oh, yeah.
You're not just flat out saying, I'm going to do this. I don't care if it makes no sense. I'm doing this.
This is why preseason football doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Because they don't do a lot of those things in the preseason. Bill will explain that they'll come out into a play right into a certain defense that another team has that you know is the exact wrong thing, and they don't audible out of it because they want to see what happens. That's the difference between preseason football. People say, like, well, they don't game plan. Well, yeah, no one game plans. But the difference is you're just lining up and you're not trying to find a play that's going to trick the other team the way you would. You're not looking for a matchup the way you would.
Right.
You're not looking for an adjustment the way Andy just explained. You're just lining up and playing. That's why preseason football for non-coaches doesn't mean a thing. You can't tell anything. All the coaches are looking at is one-on-one matchups. Who won the matchup between the individual players?
Brian from Brighton says, yes, Cliff, some of us with statistical backgrounds are aware of the Monty Hall problem. Why you bring it up here is baffling. For you guys, the probability is not 50-50. Your odds are much better if you choose to change your original pick of the three doors. If you've ever seen Let's Make a Deal game show, that's where your intuitive response of the probabilities get exposed. I don't agree.
I don't understand it.
I don't
understand why changing your pick changes what's behind the doors.
Right. You're still down to two. You know one is and one isn't.
Right.
That's 50-50.
That's 50-50.
You know?
Can somebody explain it to us?
Yeah.
I'm being serious. I would like somebody to explain.
Originally, you had a 33% chance. Now you have a 50% chance.
Right.
I was busy chuckling at Andy's tweet at Brian Lowe.
I'm not going to let him forget this.
Bilo tweets out, between the 12 and 13 drafts, the Patriots took 7 defensive players in the first 3 rounds. So Andy retweets it with the comment, none named Jesse Williams or A.J. Klein.
Eldred writes in, I agree with Eric, the 49ers, Minnesota, Houston, Jets, and Miami are teams that we're going to play that have gotten better and have a better draft than us, pick better free agents than we do, and tell Andy if he remembers Deion Sanders, who played off, looks like he got beat a lot and became the best defensive back of all time.
That's the dumbest thing
I've
ever
heard.
Deion Sanders didn't get beat a lot.
And
No. He's saying it looks like he played off, but
no,
then
it didn't.
His makeup speed.
No, he played in guys' jerseys.
He roamed. He freelanced.
But even if he didn't,
but
I don't care. He's the best ever.
He was one of the most physical cornerbacks ever.
But regardless of that, whatever he did, you don't compare anybody else to that. Right?
I'm astounded at such a difference of how Deion Sanders played is compared to that description and how he actually played. He did not just let guys run by him and then make it up with his speed. That's not how Deion Sanders played. He was in your shirt almost. Ask Michael Irvin how he played.
What?
Jaws.
Whoa! A lot of people, one person is saying that we are wrong on this Monty Hall thing, and I went to Wikipedia. It's a probability puzzle loosely based on the American television show Let's Make a Deal, blah, blah, blah.
Just so you know, I'm not wrong because I didn't pay attention to the first one because I knew I would get confused. It's math. And I've established myself this weekend as being a moron.
Yeah, Voss Savant, first brought it up.
Idiot Savant?
The response was that the contestant should switch to the other door. Contestants who switch have a two-thirds chance of winning the car, while contestants who stick have only a one-third chance.
How?
One way to see this is to notice that there is a two-thirds chance that the initial choice of the player is a door hiding a goat. When that is the case, the host is forced to open the other goat door, and the remaining closed door hides the... I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't.
There are two doors. You know that one of them has your thing, and the other one doesn't. That's 50-50.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Now, are there certain rules to the show that we're missing out on?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It says the Monty Hall problem has attracted academic interest because the results are surprising and the problem is simple to formulate. Furthermore, variations of the Monty Hall problem can easily be made by changing the implied assumptions, and the variations can have drastically different consequences. For example, if Monty only offers the contestant a chance to switch when the contestant has initially chosen, well, of course that's going to change it.
Oh, yeah. So we don't know the rules of Make a Deal. There's rules involved.
But the rules that this other gave us just said you have a door.
Right.
You
so
pick
that's
one.
Stupid.
It's 50-50.
It's 50-50.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, let's not obsess over this idiot.
Dennard Robinson went to the Jags.
Huh. Ethan says the Monty Hall problem is based on the fact that the open door is not random. Your first choice had a 66% chance of being wrong, forcing the host to open the third door. You only had a 33% chance of getting it right on the first guess, allowing the host to choose the door to open. So switching has 66% chance to be right because the host had to open the other bad door.
Oh, they always open a bad door first?
I guess. I don't know.
If you pick that door.
It doesn't...
He's never going to pick...
Thanks, boss.
He's never going to... Oh, okay, so maybe what they're saying is he's never going to pick your door if you were right. So you had a 33% chance to be right. You chose door number one. He's never going to choose your door first because he doesn't want to...
He wants the game to play out.
Right. Yeah. So you know...
Yeah, but that's not the game we were playing.
But that's not the rules.
So it's stupid. Stop reading these emails.
Yeah, it is. It's idiotic.
Interesting on that Dennard Robinson pick, Andy. They announced him as a running back. Don't know if that means anything, if that's what Jacksonville put down on his card.
I'm sure it is. Remember Bill Belichick, defensive back? Don't put safety corner, defensive back.
Yes. I didn't remember the tone, but yes.
I remember the tone.
He always has that tone.
Yeah, he does.
He says, like, good morning and happy birthday with that tone. Good morning. Happy birthday.
Hey, good morning.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298.
And you say, Bill, you said good morning. I never said that.
398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Nick in San Diego. Hey, Nick.
Hey, boys. How are you doing?
Good.
So I'm irate that I even have to bring this up because the emailer who brought up the Monty Hall problem is an idiot. But let me just explain it. All right. So there's three doors. You pick a door, and with that door, you have a one-third chance of getting right.
Yes,
the two other doors, there's a two-third chance of getting it right. And I know, I'm just going through the hall of the paces. I'm not treating you guys like you're idiots. Paul, maybe I have to slow this down a little bit for you, but everybody else.
That is true, Nick. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, so with door number one, you have a one-third chance. The other two doors are the two-third chance. So, all right, what the game show host does, he says, okay, now with door two and three, you know, he picks one of the doors that is wrong. Okay, so he just says door number two, there's nothing behind it. So there's door number one and door number three, they're left. Now, with your original choice, you had a one-third chance of getting it right. With doors two and three, you had a two-third chance of getting it right. So switching statistically increases your chance from 33% to 66%. I know it's really weird. You'd have to see it done, but statistically speaking, you'd increase your chances.
I kind of see what you're saying, but still, it still comes down to there are two doors. You have one shot at being right. It's 50-50.
All right, yeah. So if it was door number one and door number three, and you just picked door number one, then you would have a 50-50% chance. But your original choice was 33%.
Yeah, I get that.
Right. And so with the other two doors, two and three, it's a 66% chance that that's what it's going to be. That statistic possibility doesn't decrease just because he shows one of them was wrong. Because one of those doors is going to be wrong anyway, but the 66% chance is still there. So the whole concept is that they remove one door, which makes you feel more secure in your original choice. Okay, well, I didn't get one of the wrong doors. Well, you weren't going to get one of the wrong doors anyway. It's a weird thing, but anyway, what do you guys think about us picking up another defensive end here in the draft?
I wouldn't hate it.
I wouldn't dismiss it, but I don't know how good you're going to get.
Yeah, and I don't know who exactly is available at that point, but listen, they need some defensive players. So
Anyone you guys like at all?
Is that what you said?
Anyone on defense you like?
Well, I mean, we're 100 picks away, so
In the seventh round, that's the equivalent of an undrafted free agent in my mind. So,
all right, guys,
whoever they get,
Taylor get taken?
All right, thanks, Nick.
How about Devin Taylor? Did he get? I don't think he got picked yet. I might have missed him. So he's a guy out of South Carolina, Freddie, that I kind of like. Real tall guy, 6'7".
Okay. Yep. Let's go to Larry in Worcester. Hey, Larry.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
I do have a question at the end, but if you picture this doors as 24.
This is great.
No, don't stop, Eric. Quiet.
This is why they hate
you. If you picture it in a larger pick, like 20 boxes, and you pick one, then you get down to two, and then you always switch. It's totally mathematical, and you always switch away from your original pick. You get a higher percentage. In a bigger selection, the percentage becomes larger. But even in a three choice, it's totally mathematical. You always switch your pick. But anyways, that's
only because the chances of you being right on the first pick are less.
Correct.
Right.
It's almost
a philosoph. I completely get it.
But it's
a philosophical thing.
Besides,
no, it's a mathematical thing.
No,
but Fred's right. It's a philosophical thing because if you know going in,
Eric.
Pipe down.
It has nothing to do with being physical. Being a choice.
The point is, if you know that they're never going to give you your door that you picked right off the bat, you know that, right? They're always going to give you one of the ones that's not your door. So you know that you really only have two choices, not three. You really only have two choices because you know they're not going to give you your choice right off the bat.
But it's now
you really only have two choices.
No, but here's the bottom line. In Larry's case, there was a lot more selection. Let's just say that there were 10 doors.
Right.
So choosing the door right on the first pick, you had a 10% chance of being right.
Right.
That original pick still had a 10% chance of being right when there's two doors left.
Right. Now
that's the whole bottom line.
But
the fact that there's two doors left now means that it could be either one.
Exactly. It's flipping a coin.
So it's more of an existential type of exercise.
It's really mathematical, but that's okay. You always switch it.
You don't.
Jesse Williams just got picked. If anybody cares,
but if you always switch, but
Sandy didn't. He just decided to belch it to the
mic. That door that you switched to could just as easily have been your first choice.
It doesn't mean you're going to be right. It just mathematically you have increased your percentage of chances of winning.
Yeah. Only. Well. Okay.
My question was
okay.
In the seventh. In these three seventh-rounders, is there anybody that basically just a punt kickoff returner that has, marginal skills someplace else that is left, that was a good punt kickoff? Because that's what we need.
You don't like Leon Washington?
Yeah, we got Leon Washington.
Oh.
What? He's elite. People call him elite when it comes to kickoff returns.
I haven't seen this eliteness.
What? He's had eight career touchdowns, I think, returning kicks. I think he's got the most active, or at least tied active, with Hester, maybe. I'm not sure.
He averaged 29 and change a return last year.
I don't see him as an elite guy.
Out of curiosity, can you give me an example of an elite kick returner?
Well, I'm just Well, that's what I'm asking. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm
looking
current,
for your version of if you could pick the Larry Fitzgerald or the Calvin Johnson of kick returners, who would it be?
Well, that's it. I don't know at this point in time.
No, because I just wanted to sort of get a point of comparison to see if I could come up with someone for you. I think Leon Washington is certainly more than serviceable in that department.
I was looking for a little more serviceable. I mean, I remember what's-his-face, that speech. I mean, whenever he touched the ball.
Who, Devin Hester?
No.
Bethel Johnson?
I was always in my seat like Andy.
Deion Sanders?
No, Bethel Johnson.
Guy, that we had that just was a knucklehead.
Bethel Johnson.
And you were just waiting for him to break it.
Bethel Johnson?
Yeah, I guess it was.
But he wasn't elite. No one
he was an elite kick returner.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he
you
was.
Think so?
I mean,
yeah.
It might have been only for a year, but
yeah,
he was
okay.
Elite.
All right, for that one year. All right.
He's. I mean, Nicole is right. Every time he had one, you thought he was going to take it to the house.
Yeah, for that year. Yep.
Okay. I mean, that idea, something like that in the seventh round. You know, just because what are you going to get there anyway? You know, he doesn't have to have any other talents, just that he's great at that in college.
Okay, we'll look at that. All right, thanks, Larry.
Mayock said Jesse Williams' second-round talent medical issue is why he slid. So,
I just don't get it.
Brian's in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Fred. When I sent you the email telling you it was a Monty Hall problem, I take it back. I called Cliff a DB for bringing it up on the show to begin with. But now I've changed my mind. Eric, this is why we all think you're a douche. Because you're arguing something you have no idea about. Like, it's just a simple conditional probability calculation. People are trying to tell you it, and yet you're maintaining that you're right.
I understand the mathematical part of it. I'm just saying, philosophically,
don't, because you're saying it's philosophical. You're trying to justify
it. Okay, don't let people finish their sentences. That's fine. Go to hell.
Oh! Eric!
And again, that's why they hate you.
Let's debunk your argument, too, because you say there's only two doors. It's 50-50. If I buy a lottery ticket, I either win or lose. Off, is that 50-50?
Screw you, bitch.
No.
See, Eric, can I just say something for a second? You keep saying it's a philosophical thing. I don't know what this is all about. I haven't really been paying attention.
Freddie and I are saying that.
But the people that are talking about it, it's not. It's a mathematical thing.
I know that.
I
know that.
You keep dismissing them.
Oh, no, I'm not dismissing
them. As out of hand by saying, oh, it's a philosophical thing.
No, Freddie and I are saying
an element that, what did you say, like people like MIT kind of math statisticians?
Right.
I get it. Well, then stop calling it philosophical. Because you're not getting it if you just think it's a philosophical thing.
I didn't say
it's
it was
a mathematical
just a
thing.
I know it is. I just said that, Paul.
But that's why they're getting mad at you. That's what I'm trying to explain to you, because you keep dismissing it.
No, they're dismissing the
care.
Fact that we
I
think
didn't
there's
pay
a philosophical
to the,
element to it.
I didn't pay attention to the original problem because, as you know, I can't do math.
Yes. All we're saying, Fred and I are saying there's another element to this that the mathematical geeks aren't considering.
Yeah, and I think you're
and
wrong.
And the math geeks are just saying it's just about math.
But that's what it is.
It's exactly what it is.
No, that's what they're trying to tell you.
But it's
one after another is trying to tell you the same thing, and you won't listen.
But see, it's almost a theoretical thing because I understand my original pick had X amount of probability. Depending
oh, Fred,
on the,
you're wrong. Right, your intuition is right. You're right there. I mean,
right.
I don't think there's a need to go through the proof of it.
You're just trying to tweet about the Monty Hall problem. This is the greatest show
I'm agreeing
ever.
With Fred, and yet I'm wrong.
Because Fred, why are you yelling at everybody?
Yeah. I think it's fascinating.
There's a difference between the way you guys are both talking about it. And I don't know
I'm
how
agreeing
you can
with
see
Fred.
That. Is this what happens when I argue with you, Fred? This is what you guys all do?
I'm agreeing with Fred.
I know, but you're not saying the same thing. You might agree with him, but you're not saying the same thing.
Are we not agreeing, Fred?
I think so, but, you know.
Thank you.
But I'm not as pissy about it.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's my point in a nutshell right there.
Yeah, I didn't just tell Brian to go to hell.
Well, because he cut me off. You can't let a guy finish his argument.
He didn't just say, I'm shutting my headphones off. I'm not listening to you. That's what you're doing. And Fred's like laughing about it. I don't see how you don't see the difference there.
This is why the NFL shouldn't have the draft over 3 days. That's the bottom line.
Now, that's a mathematical probability I can live with.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Brian. And now Eldridge in North Carolina, I'm sure, wants to talk about the three-door problem. Eldridge?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
What's up?
Love the show. But I don't know if it was Andrew or Eric that made a Dion comment. I'm older than you. So
I didn't Eric, make any Deion
Eric
comments.
Didn't.
No. Let's see here, Eldridge, about Deion Sanders.
I watched Deion. And if you go back and watch the NFL in a football life, you'll see that. Deion, even when Granville coached him, he got burnt, and he caught the ball, ran a 60-yard touchdown. Granville asked him, why did you do that? But coach, I got to get some work. Got to work. In some games against Irvin, yeah, he was in his chest. Most of the game, he wasn't. Because, like I said, he has to work. And when he played for the 49ers when they beat Dallas, he did that. When he played for the Falcons and against the 49ers, Jerry Rice the only one that gave him hell. Jerry Rice the only receiver that gave him trouble. Everybody else, no. You
so,
know.
Bottom
but
line,
he wasn't
Eldridge.
Physical. He wasn't physical either.
No, he wasn't physical, but
that's ridiculous.
You pay me to cover, not to tackle.
It's ridiculous to say that he wasn't physical. It's absolutely ridiculous to say he wasn't a physical cornerback.
But Eldridge,
it's like saying Ty Law wasn't a physical cornerback.
Well, we know he was.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I like Law. I wish you had somebody like Law.
But Eldridge, so you're saying that Deion Sanders did play off?
He played off. You know,
he played off as a freelancer.
He got to the quarterback to throw the ball. Like I said,
exactly.
Otherwise, he wouldn't get no work.
Yeah, that's not the same thing as getting burnt, which is what you said at the beginning of the call.
No, he wasn't getting burnt. I didn't say he was getting burnt. I said looked like he was getting burnt. I said looked like, not getting burnt. Looked like, because he had speed to catch up.
Yeah, that's not what he used to do. I disagree with your characterization, but that's fine. I mean, it's teaching. I don't think that he used to get beat and then catch up with his speed. I think he used to bait quarterbacks into throwing the ball. I think that he used to make quarterbacks try to think that this guy was open.
But you can still do that, Paul, and play off. That's playing off.
That's what I'm saying.
He was able to do it.
That's not the same as getting burnt.
No. And I don't think
I think D. Milliner got beat by 10 yards and then got lucky, is what I'm saying. Deion Sanders didn't do that.
Not by 10, no.
Deion Sanders did not just let guys go and then say, I don't think the quarterback can get it there. Deion Sanders used to give a guy, during the course of the game. First of all, to say Deion Sanders wasn't physical, his corner is ridiculously off. He was a very physical corner. But
he used to
bait quarterbacks into throwing the ball.
Well,
that's not letting a guy run down the sideline and hoping that the quarterback doesn't get it there.
But Eldridge, when you say he wasn't physical, yes, in run support he wasn't, but as a physical coverage guy, he did
well,
use his
tackling.
Hands.
That's tackling. That's not physical.
Right.
That's a different thing.
He can still be physical and not be a tackler.
Wasn't a great tackler. I would agree with that.
He did do that. He did jam him a little bit, but he did let him run by him a little bit so he can get some work. Deion said that out of his own mouth. And he still talk about that when on the NFL access sometimes.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing.
Oh, but
Deion saying he wanted to get some work is not the same thing as that he consistently let guys beat him. That's all. But we're talking about the Patriots draft anyway.
Okay, the Patriots. Do you think they get a corner out of the next 3 7-round draft that might be available?
A corner. Yeah, I think that
they
that could be possible.
Who cares? I hate to sound like Eric, but I mean it's the 7th round and these guys are, you know, highly unlikely, you know, to make the roster. And if they
that's the way I feel about the draft. You've been drafted so far from two down.
Well, I think
boys,
these other guys
maybe,
have a good.
Maybe
you know,
boys and maybe that.
No, I think they all have a chance.
Eldridge, you must like the boys pick, right? Good size, fast guy on the outside. You have to like that pick.
I like that one, you know, but like I said, it's still not my pick receiver. Like I said, I'm still just drunk with Bill because, I mean, each time we have somebody that we could pick that's better, he let the other team get some. But like the Giants, when they got Randall the other year, we right there to get in the Giants whooped that butt in the Super Bowl. That was Manahan replacement. You know, he showed it towards the end of the year last year. So this year he's going to start.
Reuben Randall, I like
him. And then you got Cordell Patterson. We sit there at 29, right there with him.
Well, I will say
we get picks. I understand the value thing, but they only count at McDonald's and value meals for time when you're picking dinner.
You know what? Eldridge, you're absolutely right. And I will say this.
Good way to end the call.
Here is going to be, and we talked about this last night a little bit, Andy and I. when you look back at this draft, it's going to turn out to be Cordarrelle Patterson. What does he do? And then you're going to compare that to Aaron Dobson, and to a lesser extent, Jamie Collins. But more the receiver that you decided didn't matter, I can wait to my second-round pick, and I can trade down 23 spots. So people are going to say, would you rather have Jamie Collins and Aaron Dobson or Cordarrelle Patterson? Now, if Cordarrelle Patterson ends up being just a run-of-the-mill wide receiver, the Patriots will have been right. If Patterson ends up being a really good player, then you're going to have to look at it a little bit and say, sure. Two for one. Which one would you rather have? I'll take the star. I don't think Patterson's going to be that guy. I'll be up front. I'll give you my opinion now. I think he's just a guy.
Did you guys mention that Denard Robinson went to the Jaguars?
Yep.
Okay.
That was before the Monty Hall explosion.
I believe you were actually making fun of me for having trouble speaking at that point.
Oh, and is that why you haven't spoken since?
No, I've been letting Paul contribute.
Let's go to
appreciate that, Andy. Thanks.
Let's go to Taj. And
plus, I had no interest in the stupid three-door conversation.
Let's go to Taj and Brockton, Mass.
I couldn't believe that I went and got a cookie, talked to Tom Curran for 5 minutes, came back, and you idiots were still talking.
It was a good discussion.
Andy, I don't even know what the discussion is. I didn't pay attention to the original premise.
And Eric sulking.
No, I'm starting to write my story.
I'm just writing my story.
Eric shut his headphones off when the guy was yelling at him.
He's working on a piece.
No, when the guy cut me off while I was trying to make my point. That's okay. Why I turned my headphones
off. Eric shut his headphones off when the guy cut him off trying to make his point.
Taj is on the phone. Hey, Taj.
Taj?
Hey, how you guys doing? What's going on?
Taj.
Not so much.
I had a question. I heard that the Patriots were interested in Tyrann Mathieu. And I don't understand why they didn't pursue him when I think he was the best player in the draft, period.
The best player in the draft?
What do you base that on, Taj?
Did you guys see him at LSU?
Yes. Not this year because he got kicked out of school.
Yeah, it was the off-field issues. But I think, you know, it was a weak draft. I think we all know that.
Yes.
No, you're right.
And I just think that he's going to be the standout player of the draft. I think he was, what, 69th pick?
How do you envision him playing? What role on defense?
I see him as Deion Sanders-esque. I see him as a ball hog. He's always in the game, even though he's a defensive player. He's always got the ball in his hand somehow. I mean, if you guys saw him at LSU.
Yes, you are right.
He's a playmaker.
That's actually a good comparison because that is how he impacted games.
But he is tiny.
Yeah, he's a little undersized. True.
I will say, you know, we used to watch like the Ed Reed Ravens. And they would get the ball on defense, and it was like an offensive play.
Yeah.
The back end of that Cardinals defense could be an offensive play with Peterson and Mathieu playing.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, that's assuming he's not high.
I think they needed that, and I think they dropped the ball on that
one. So you would have taken him in the second round?
I would have took him first.
You want to get high?
I would have took him first.
He's a huge risk.
Well, that's a huge risk, though.
He was not very believable at the combine when he talked about how much football matters to him now and, you know, weed is in his past and he's not the honey badger anymore and all that crap. Yeah. You know, that took a hit the last couple of weeks with the way he handled himself, and you'd have to be scared to death to take him in the first round.
Right. But I think, you know, Belichick, he's good with players like that. You know, the Randy Mosses, you know, the Haynesworth thing didn't work out. But
I'm talking specifically weed. And you're right. There's no doubt in my mind that successful players in New England smoke weed. I think no, I'm being dead serious. I think successful players on every team smoke weed.
Maybe you shouldn't contribute anymore.
There's no hope with Joe.
Do you not agree with me?
I'm wholeheartedly 100% I agree with you.
I mean, we have got certain guys on record who got in trouble for weed at various points in their lives with various teams. And I just, that's my belief. I think there's successful people in all walks of life who smoke weed all the time. I've actually, as the older I've gotten, I've had my eyes open to how many people smoke weed in their everyday lives. But I think he has a problem and could miss time with, and I know he said supposedly he's going to take a drug test every week. You know, that's good. He's trying to salvage his career, and I give him credit for that. But I also still have concerns about that and where he fits. You know, to me, he's not a starting corner. Maybe he is. I don't know. I just find him very small, and he seems like he's sort of a specialized player, an athlete and a playmaker, more than a proven player that you just say, he's my left cornerback, and I'm not going to move him.
Okay.
All right, Taj.
Well, thanks for the call, guys.
Thanks, Taj.
That was a good call.
Yeah. No, I think that's an interesting take. I think that would have been a huge risk. I'm with Andy. 69th pick. Now you're talking about going up 30 picks to get him in the first round.
Right.
That's a big risk.
But maybe this is the – I mean, EJ Manuel's a big risk.
Oh,
there's plenty of guys in this draft that are a big risk.
That might be a bigger risk than Matthew.
I would agree, think it definitely is, because at least Matthew, you're going to get some plays out of him somehow as a punt returner, as something.
Yeah.
He was even a freaking, pretty impressive gunner. You want to talk about a four down player?
What do you mean by gunner? No. Who was the guy that said that to you?
Deion Anderson.
Deion Anderson.
Yeah, that's right.
About Gunna.
Hey, Al from Italy says, hey, Al, it's Al from Italy. What's
going
on?
He said, hey, Al, it's Al from Italy?
What's going on? A two-thirds, a 20%, a three-doors. Stop with all the math and go back to talking about what's really important. Tatas. this draft is awful. I don't see any hot girlfriend or hot mommy because my Andy's mom this morning, of course.
Oh.
Boy, that took an ugly turn.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the tickets you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices, and all our tickets come with a 200% money back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest plastic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today. Have an opinion on what the Patriots have done thus far in the draft? Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Fred and the Gang, live from Patriots Draft Headquarters inside Gillette Stadium.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. It is absolutely amazing the number of emails we got about the three-door problem, and I get it now. I do. I understand it is a math problem. That door that you originally started with still has that 33% chance that you started with. The door that's left has the chance increased because the host kept opening wrong doors. So I get it now. And Eric has left the room. He's walked out. So,
well, that's kind of what I was trying to say.
And cheers just went up globally.
I think that they were getting upset because he was dismissing it, and you to a lesser extent, but at least you weren't laughing at people and
right.
Shutting off your headphones, which is how I separated you two. I think they were getting upset because they were dismissing it as it's got no basis. You know, math people are using stats. They're using proven numbers to back up the percentage being higher.
Yeah, the key
once
is,
that door is eliminated.
Yeah, the key is the host, you know, constantly opening up wrong doors, which
right.
increases the odds of that one door that you didn't select being the right one, you know? So I get it now. I get it now. Absolutely. Ben from New York says, keep up the love. How are you straightforward with everyone? I love how you're straightforward with everyone. Keeps the show funny and entertaining, especially during the draft. Love the show. You guys are the best in the business. Keep it up. Wow. Best in the business.
Well, I mean, are we the best in the business of internet podcasts about the Patriots that are live from the stadium?
Oh, if that's the business, then yeah, we are the best.
I think it's probably a limited niche market.
What a wet blanket you are.
Let's see. Eldred says, me again, tell Andy he's mistaken and he needs to watch NFL films a lot, and especially A Football Life featuring Deion Sanders.
Whoa, Andy wasn't in this fight.
Well, let's wait. Go ahead.
Even his coach Glanville says Deion looks like he was burnt. And Deion ended up with
looks like
and a 60-yard touchdown interception. And Glanville asked him, Deion, why did you let him get behind you? And Deion told him that if he didn't do that, he wouldn't get any work.
Exactly.
Right, he's baiting them.
He's baiting them. He's not actually
right.
getting burned.
He always goaded.
He was a master baiter.
He always goaded the quarterback to throw his way. So, yes, he did.
Yeah, and that was me, by the way, making that argument for Sanders, not Andy. So don't yell at him.
In some cases, he played.
Andy checked out that half hour.
In some cases, he played in their chest and he wasn't that physical because, like Deion said, you pay me to cover, not to tackle.
Tackling is not being physical for a cornerback.
Did this email come in before his call came in? Or is he, like, following up his call?
I don't know.
Oh.
Let's see. John writes in about the Honey Badger. Just think, if we had grabbed him, we could have had Arrington and Honey Badger rushing the passer. Would have been like a triple-digit sacks right there.
Kenny Stills to Nolens. I like Kenny Stills. He's going to be a good player. That's a good fifth-round pick.
He'll be fine with them because he's a receiver going to New Orleans.
Huh?
They make receivers good. They fit into that offense well.
Yeah. Devery Henderson would disagree. Doesn't really seem to be able to.
Well, they spread it around, but he'll be a pro. And Devery Henderson, Patriots fans were like gushing over. Oh, I'd love to have Devery Henderson. He's so great. He's great.
They were Patriots fans to pick the one guy who's not productive out of that group.
Rich says, screw the haters. I really enjoy Paul's banter, responses, and input. I rather enjoy his passion regardless of his attitude. He speaks his mind, and I respect and enjoy that. Don't change.
Wow.
I don't know. What were you
You're
on,
the one.
Were you on Paul about that? I thought it was
no.
That.
Well, the Deion,
I don't think people know who any of us are.
The Deion Sanders thing. I did. I got a little heated on that.
Okay. Let's see. Ricky writes in. He's from Mobile. Why did the Patriots draft a lot of nobodies? Tyron was the best defensive back in the draft, even though he got high. He still was a great steal for us. But once again, the Patriots draft bench riders, and they're just a terrible team.
Just because you've heard of
Tyrann
Mathieu.
Now, why couldn't
Matthew...
you give us that an hour ago? That's what we were looking at.
I mean, I get so frustrated. They did draft a bench warmer. Well,
yeah,
not a bench warmer.
I think that the safety they picked is
They also drafted some pretty good players. It's not always about who was on SportsCenter or the cover of ESPN the magazine, who also happened to get kicked out of school when nobody gets kicked out of school.
Ryan says, Monty Hall or Monty Beisel? At least the latter was simply overpowered.
Hall. Beisel was a DB. Although he had a hot wife. He did have a wag.
A wag.
Sergio from California.
I'd like to tail that wag. You know what I mean?
Sayosh.
Do you believe Derek Rogers falls to the seventh? Did he get taken?
Derek Rogers, he absolutely could fall to the seventh round.
If he does, will Bill pick him up? He's known to take a chance on troubled players. I believe that the reason troubled players change in New England is that it is too cold to cause trouble, and there's not much gang activity in the area.
There actually is, you know.
I wouldn't mind.
Of course there is. There is everywhere.
I wouldn't mind taking a risk on a talented player with a troubled past. I see the Patriots trying to get back to the Super Bowl winning era, where it's less about deep passes and more about having possession receivers. However, Boyce looks like our best deep threat. By the way, I promise this is the last email for today. Thank you for your advice on the hotels in Buffalo. As long as I'm not getting mugged, it should be good.
Oh, it's not dangerous. Buffalo's not dangerous, right? What'd you guys say?
No, although I know
everywhere is dangerous.
Remember that one
friendly town.
It's vacant.
Were you with me
the year
that we walked back from the Anchor Bar? We walked through that bad area.
I did that many times.
Yeah, that. Well, during the day or night?
At night, because we're always there. We go on Saturday and we go Saturday night.
Yeah,
it's no different than ever. You had the fedora and a cigar that you. Just
oh,
left
that was
lit or whatever.
We went to like Pearl Street that week, right? That was a good one too. Fred just,
oh, when he had the cigar,
he just had the cigar.
Yeah, that was at Pearl Street.
Yeah.
Bills, eh?
Yeah. It's like you were chomping on the cigar when you said that. See,
I didn't have a fedora on.
I think you did.
No, I think you did.
You had.
Actually.
You did.
I Buffalo. Actually, yeah,
Fred.
I'm pretty sure you did.
You did.
I think you did.
That brought it all together.
That's right. You had the cigar. You had the fedora. You looked like the mobster from the Looney Tunes cartoons.
Really? I don't remember bringing my fedora.
Hey, Muggsy.
I don't want to poo-poo the guy's idea of being cold and take it too seriously, but if you had a smoking problem and you were stuck inside, wouldn't you be more likely to hang out and smoke weed? I'm being serious.
Yes.
I think if you have less to do, well, maybe we'll just watch a movie and get high, or play video games and get high, do something and get high.
Well, plus, you know, it's Boston. I mean, there's stuff to do.
Well, it's Foxborough.
No, but you're a half hour out of the city.
Yeah, you can't drive high.
No, you get someone to drive for you.
Or don't get high.
No, what I'm saying is...
Oh, no, these guys are going to get high.
I'm talking about you make it sound like, you're like in the middle of nowhere. And you don't have, you're 3 hours from a city. I mean, you're right in Boston. I mean,
you're mere minutes from Patriots Place. Eat, joy, play.
There's plenty of things to do.
Eat, joy, play?
Something like that.
Shop, dine, enjoy.
Brian says,
Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, Fred, we need to show Eric some love. Love the show, the rants, and Fred almost dropping the F-bomb last night.
Did you?
I came close.
Last night?
Yeah.
When?
I forget.
It's all a blur now. I can't even remember.
Before the show, you were dropping plenty of them.
What's that, Kevin?
Said before the show, you were dropping plenty of them.
Why? What was I saying?
A lot. I don't know. You were talking about you were talking about Mayock, I think, in the picks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good call, Kevin. Yeah.
And you were like, F this, F that, F this. And I was like, I'm glad he's in queue right now.
Well, no, that was,
that was effing ridiculous.
I am not, one of those Mayock haters like a lot of people, but he really showed his ass last night.
Paul.
He was showing his ass. That was ridiculous what he was doing.
What does that mean?
He was just.
He showed his ass?
Yeah, it's a
saying. He mooned you.
Yeah, so what does it mean?
It just means you were acting a fool.
Yeah.
Oh, I show my ass all the time.
Yeah, showed himself to be an ass.
So
that's for sure.
I told Lumpy Jr., Fred, to tell you that you were on the air when you were dropping those last night, and he was quickly outsmarted me and said, no, because he's going to yell at me.
Right? You don't want to be the bearer of bad news. Todd writes in, here's one Paul will understand. You're in a fight to the death. You're given the choice between a 6-inch serrated knife or a standard wooden bat. Your opponent gets the weapon you don't choose. Which do you take?
I don't know. The bat.
I'd take the bat.
Yeah, because and then I hit him before he gets to choose. while he's choosing, I hit him over the head with the bat.
Well, couldn't you stab him while he's
Well, either
the
way,
bat?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't really matter. I'm just going to kill him before he makes his choice.
I just think he's got to get too close to use the knife. I'm just swinging and knocking
That's
him
not a knife.
Leap out from a distance.
Brings a knife to a gunfight.
And I'm sure there's some answer that you don't choose either, because if you don't do that, then your probability
Because if you don't pick a weapon, then he doesn't get a weapon. And existentially speaking...
Ray wants to know, when did Monty Hall get drafted?
He used to play for the Kansas City Chiefs, didn't he?
Where are we?
We're
on the
middle of the fifth round.
Yeah, we're on the 14th pick in the
Nowhere
fifth.
Near
all
our picks.
All that matters is we're 20 minutes away from ending the show.
Wow. People wouldn't have minded if you ended the show yesterday.
I would have, because he provided high comedy moments both on Thursday and today.
Is there a car alarm going off?
Oh, let me go check on that.
Or those
if I'm not back, you just got you guys just finish.
Do they have vuvuzelas in this?
Vuvuzelas?
Ryan and Lincoln wants to know, looking at the current roster and draft picks, what defense do you guys project New England to run as their base? 3-4, 4-3, or Rutgers heavy?
4-3.
I would expect a 4-3 to stay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just think there'll be multiple.
Oh, they always are.
I don't think... I guess their base will be 4-3, but I think...
Certainly was last year.
You know,
wasn't all that multiple last year.
I think that you're going to see all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but that's not what he's asking. Same, you're his base.
I don't think
to cover all your bases, Fred.
I don't think it matters much.
More importantly, Will just caught the ball at first base to get an out in the game. That's big.
Great.
Big.
And I think Andy just soiled himself.
I love when Andy has this little look on his face like, ooh, maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Could have been a little squirt.
Steven Toronto says, longtime listener, sometime caller.
It's
been a while. No idea how many emails. Great coverage as usual, but now I'm a bit frustrated as there are guys on the board the Patriots could really use. Need to trade up, Bill, please.
Happens every year, my
friend. To get
who?
Who do you want?
Well, a lot of these guys he's mentioning have been picked. Jesse Williams picked?
Yes. Seattle.
Swope got picked, right?
I don't think Swope got picked.
Oh, Swope didn't get picked? I thought he did.
I don't think he did. Stills did. Swope did.
Stills just went three picks ago.
Derek Rogers, Chase Thomas, outside linebacker, David Quisenberry, Luke Marquardt.
I have never heard that name before. Who is he?
Offensive tackle.
I haven't heard a couple of those names. Quisenberry? What's he?
Hogwarts University.
He's a tackle. Jeff Baca is a guard. Wide receiver, quarterback, Dennard Roberts. He got picked.
Yep.
You know that. Joseph Fourier. We talked about him.
Joe Fourier. He's still available.
Specialist. He's a red zone target. Soft hands, big long frame, goes and gets it.
Joseph Randall, running back.
Is that the Oklahoma State kid?
And he says, and bitchy Eric, you're nuts, but more entertaining than ever.
I think he's had a phenomenal weekend, Eric. I'm dead serious. Right. Angry Eric needs to make more frequent appearances.
Right up until he presses the button on his car to unlock it, and it goes boom.
This is why I got mad at you. I got mad at you because
as someone who survived the Boston Marathon, I think you should take that back.
People not happy with you.
No, I'm serious.
I'm being serious too.
But you should take.
I've been threatened by the Southern. What were they called? The Southie Irishmen.
When?
A few years back, they threatened to throw me in a trunk.
Who did?
Some Southie Irishmen.
Fat
where?
Tony?
No, I mean like on the.
Oh, on the radio, show when they didn't like me.
Because you were making fun of Irish people?
What do you mean what do you mean when they didn't like you? As if, you know, that was then. This is now.
They like me now.
Let's face it. They hate us all.
We've come around.
Except for Fred. Fred's the only one everybody likes.
Ross from Glasgow, women of PFW and Eric, I warned you before Thursday's show not to allow a-holes to decide if you announced tweets about picks because it affected the show, so I have become zero to hot. With listening over the past 3 days, I'm not sure what makes me madder. You guys pandering to the a-holes, or that I have to agree with Eric? The result is that everyone in the studio but Eric is a pussy.
I love when he does that.
PFW is an internet radio show, and I do not mean that as a derogatory term. The great thing about your show is that it doesn't comply to mainstream media rules, and as a result, it is more racy, more entertaining, and allows you to say what you think. But you are allowing a-holes to decide that an internet radio show at the cutting edge of new media cannot use other internet social media resources. You don't think that's a little backwards? Times change. If you want to live in the past, then watch the DBs like Mike Mayock guess the picks before the commission announces them. If you want new media at the cutting edge, then listen to PFW and hear about the tweets. Tweets are still just rumors until the commission officially makes an announcement. How many times has Locke and Fora been wrong? At one point, Andy and Paul started asking each other to announce a tweet about a pick because they didn't want to upset anyone. Wow. Pussy. To use a Rex Ryan phrase, Eric is the only one who dropped his testicles. Everyone else are retracted so far that Andy and Fred can have another argument about Adam's apples.
Nice.
Who's this emailer?
Ross from Glasgow.
Ross, good job, the Ross. Best email of the weekend. Bravo.
I agree.
The only one that's praised Eric.
Excellent
that's
not
the
email.
Only one, but that's the best one.
Let's see. Guthrie from Kansas. First off, let me start off by saying what a great job you guys do. Now on to some fun facts about Collins, Jamie Collins. While looking up info about him, like most of us, I saw that he had a combine record in the broad jump. That piqued my interest, and I decided to look into it. Here's what I came up with. Fun fact number one, Jamie Collins had the best result at the 2013 combine with an 11-foot-7-inch broad jump, which was the best ever result. Fact number two. Jay Jones had the best result at the 2011 combine.
Who?
Jay Jones, Julius Jones, I guess. With
11
Jarvis Jones?
Julio.
With 11-foot-3-inch.
Julio.
The best ever result from the NFL scout combine is 11-foot-5-inches by Justin Fargas and Scott Starks.
So it translates to dominance.
The world record is 12.2, which a Norwegian holds because it's a national sporting event there. All right.
Wow.
So, very good.
Broad jump is a national sporting event?
So he's 5 inches from, or six, what, like the world record in the broad jump?
I guess so.
Is that not good enough to make the Olympics?
I don't think they have that in the Olympics. The broad jump?
Well, but it's in the track and field, isn't it?
No. They have the long jump and the triple jump.
Oh.
The broad jump, you just stand there and jump.
Yeah, that's not in the Olympics? That's not part of the
God, no.
No? Nothing?
Victor from Ecuador has a
Victor
little
Victor.
Game for Eric. It has to do with the three-door thing. You have three doors, and you can choose whichever you want.
Please tell me there's a vagina.
Yeah, which one there has to be. There has to be.
Which one would you choose? Be. Behind door number one is a 19-0 season for the Patriots.
Oh, this is disappointing.
Hold on 1 second. Andy, when did A.J. Klein, was he supposed to go? Second round?
For Bilo said second, he just second went in the fifth.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So behind door number one for Eric is
19-0.
19-0. Yep. Behind door number two is a trip anywhere you want with all expenses paid.
Okay.
And behind door number three is the man of your dreams.
Okay.
He's thinking.
That's pretty good. That was
he's,
well done.
He's thinking.
No, I'm not thinking. I'm just giving him credit. That was funny.
So 19-0.
Okay. Now, in all seriousness, let's change it to girl of your dreams. But it's a finite period with this girl. Which would you select?
No.
How finite?
A week.
Yeah, the girl, easily, hands down.
What are the other two choices?
Hands down.
19-0, which isn't really a choice because who cares? and a trip.
That's good stuff right there.
and a trip of your dreams. I mean, I've already kind of taken a couple of those, so I'd have to go with the one that I haven't had in a while.
In a while. Yeah, we'll go with that.
It's been a while.
Hashtag streakbusters.
Hashtag never.
What's next?
Don't be an ass, Andy.
What's next, Eric?
I actually gave you a hug when I saw you after the marathon, and now I'm regretting it.
I was actually glad
to see him.
I actually told him I was thinking about giving him a hug, but he's so uncomfortable around people.
It was an uncomfortable hug, but I still gave him one. Now it's making me regret it.
I gave Christy a hug.
You just wanted to feel
it
up.
That was more for you than her.
Right.
Little poke coming through.
Why do you have to go there? Everyone knows. You don't have
song.
To be so obvious.
I'm singing a song.
Andy,
it's a real song?
Yeah, it is. I actually started singing that.
It's a little
in
dance
my head.
Song, you know, a little poke coming
I know
through.
I know the song.
But, Kate Upton dance to it?
I would have more than a little poke coming through. It'd be a wet spot coming through.
It'd still be a little poke.
It'd be just a little poke.
That would be a wet spot, and then it'd go limp.
Fred had another Tommy Heinsohn.
Are they going to call it a foul? They're going to call that a hard foul?
So yeah, door number three.
When was the last point we mentioned the NFL draft?
I told Jeff Howe that we've been reading his tweets on soccer, his commentaries on the air. So he just wrote, "How do you guys feel about offsides in soccer?" Hashtag hype PFW.
All right. We're getting up to the close here. 10 more minutes left in the show. If you have any last comments to make so far, what the Patriots have done, there's another big gap before they pick again. They have 3 picks in the 7th round. So right now we're on number 19.
And who are you targeting with those, Fred?
Who knows? Offensive line. It doesn't really matter.
He really has
tuned out.
I have. I'm sorry.
Anything of any interest to you?
In terms of position or our
people,
player?
Position, Lawrence Okoye. I mean, you're looking for
a project? Would be an exciting one. Yes, I would be excited about that. Yeah, that'd be an interesting one.
Ian, you know the big tall defensive lineman from South Carolina? Is it Holloman, I think? I forget his name. I think he's still available. He's a defensive end. I think he probably lived off of Clowney. But,
and he wasn't even that good.
But late
you play opposite Clowney, you should have production.
Late in the draft.
Oh,
we got to
go.
This red team is
seventh
just dominating
rounder
today.
Fred, what are these, by the way?
What's that?
Youth reps. The youth academy.
Yeah, it's just youth kids.
Are they the same teams all the time? Or are they
they have the other squad on the bench.
Yeah,
they
changed
rotate
a couple times. Yeah.
No, I mean, these kids that are playing like for the various teams,
yeah,
do they play together regularly?
Yeah, they're probably elite kids, you know.
Yeah, they're part of the academy.
They don't look elite to me.
To quote Frank Kirsch, that's elite.
I'd hate to see what crap is. I've seen so many corner kicks that just went right through the box and out the other side. I don't even know soccer.
I have a lot of JAG-type players in this draft that Andy and I have vastly different opinions on. It's going to be fun.
Not really. The draft's just about over.
If I could remember any... No, I'm talking about like in 3 years when...
Yeah, that's
find
the difference.
Out what they
you'll
are
remember and I won't.
I said if we could actually
I'll
remember
have to trust
of
you to tell me...
I'm only going to tell you the ones I was right about.
There's a girl referee. Is that common in soccer, Fred?
Devontae Holloman. No, you don't like him?
No.
Active, Jesus, drops in coverage, versatile, athletic, good tackler, finds the ball.
Where is he?
Can rush a little bit.
How about Braxton Cave out of Notre Dame?
He's
you
fine.
Just love your JAG lineman.
Oh, the red team's going to break away again.
Oh. Cooper Taylor.
Where is he?
Another
for,
CAA
Paul?
Guy.
I can't find him.
He's listening to the defensive ends. He's a mid, yeah, like I a, know, you know, he was a mid-round him guy. Oh, we got another
yep
goal.
Yep. Red team dominating.
As Jeff Howard said.
Embarrassing.
Dominating.
You thought he was embarrassing?
Let's see. Devontae Holloman?
Yeah.
He's one of those inflated freaking safety types. Special teamer in the NFL at best. He's an oversized safety. Not fast enough. He's a tweener. Useless.
I agree on the tweener part. Everything else I don't agree on.
Greg in the Army writes in. He says, longtime listener, now third-time emailer. It was a great thrill to have you read my email earlier today. Following Boyce's selection in the 4th, I did a bit of research, and the more I read, the more excited I got about him. I really think he could make a major impact this season. On his conference call, he came off as an extremely polite but very even-natured. His combine physical measurables are terrific in both speed and strength, and he projects to fill a legitimate need as a guy who is fast when the ball is in his hands. If nothing else, maybe he can return punts in place of Edelman so number 11 can stay healthy. Did Boyce have any special teams return history? No.
According to Andy.
According to a Paul Perillo tweet, Bill Belichick will join NFL Network just after the top of the hour.
Yeah, that was according to NFL Media something or other. I just retweeted it.
Should we stay on and go live to that?
No. Ryan says that Andy and Eric's hug had more lightsaber fighting than the new Star Wars sequel.
Stop it.
NFL Media PR sent that
that's
out.
That's good stuff right there. That's funny.
All right.
The more I watch Dobson, the more I like him, says Greg A. Bedard. We didn't touch on, I don't believe, the fact that Bill Belichick wore a Watertown PD sweatshirt with a Patriots logo on it last night to his press conference.
Okay.
Not that there's much analysis.
What did the back of it say? He walked away. I couldn't.
Oh,
see.
Strong. I didn't know it said anything.
It said what?
Said strong.
Said strong. Okay.
And score for the Rams! Oh, my God!
Are those available now in the Patriots Pro Shop?
I don't think so.
So a lot more people here rooting for the red team here.
My sources told me that one of Belichick's assistants was in Watertown trying to get a sweatshirt like that last week, and I think they got it and added the Patriots logo. It's a one-off.
Okay. That does remind me, though, that the Patriots Pro Shop has the new era draft caps that you see all the players wearing, and that's available right now in the Pro Shop. So if you want to be current with your headgear, head on over there. You can either come to Gillette Stadium or go to patriotsproshop.com.
They're not hideous this year. Oftentimes, I think those are hideous. It's not hideous. I wouldn't say I like it or that I'd wear it, but it's not hideous this year.
Yeah, I don't like what they've done with caps. You know, the kids now have the flat brim and they're just in the high front. I like the curved, the older ones.
I like a good curve.
Yeah.
It's almost, it used to be an art to that.
Oh, people, they had actually these plastic things. You put them in and then you put them in your dishwasher.
Yep.
And it would, you know, the
steam curve it. Yep.
Would curve it. And they had, the little kids would do what they call surgery. They'd go into the cap and they'd take out the inner lining. And
oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, goal again for the refs from the high corner.
That was a tremendous shot.
Oh, and the goalie not happy. You shouldn't be. That's embarrassing, Chuck.
Sounds like a shootout.
Like the way the Reds were rushing to get that ball back in play after the first goal, I got the impression it was very late in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And they were chasing the goal.
Well, the clock says 0.00.
Good. Thank
you. We're in injury time. With the number of injuries in this game with all these punanis, it might go on forever.
All right.
This is the worst end to a show we've ever had.
Yeah, we're
struggling. Because it's the worst draft we've ever watched.
That's a good point.
We're struggling. There's not much going on as far as the Patriots, and there won't be for quite a while. We're now at 21 in the fifth round. Patriots don't pick again until 22 in the seventh round. So
Stansley.
Actually, I checked that. 20. Oh, wait a minute. 226 overall, and I don't know what number that is. It's, I don't know what number that is. Oh.
I'm checking right now for you, Fred. They pick seventh round, 20th overall, 20th. 226.
20th overall, yep. In the seventh.
Then 23 overall, 23, the 229 overall, and then 29, the 235 overall.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
What's a crusher?
All those picks that we have to wait for.
No, Will's on deck, and there's two outs, and this will be the last inning.
The crusher is going to have to wait for Bill Belichick for hours until he comes up.
We'll take one more call to end the show. Tony's in St. Cloud, Florida. Hey, Tony.
Hi, how you doing, guys? I just want to tell you how much I appreciate what you've done as far as the shows are concerned. I don't agree with everything you always say, but I think you put on a great show, and I really appreciate it. And I also want to ask, you guys still take lunches?
Damn Skippy.
Okay, yes,
I'd like
we
to
do.
Think I was the first person that ever got lunch for you from Papagino's back about 4 years ago.
You may have been.
I don't know if you remember.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so, well, I'll tell you what. And now that I'm going to retire in 29 days from teaching, I will be able to listen in the afternoons, and I'll take care of your lunches sometime this summer.
Oh, I love you,
Tony.
Wow.
Do us Tony, do us
thank
a favor and
much.
Become a regular caller for us. I'm dead serious.
But
call in. You're going to be retiring. You'll be able to listen to the show live.
Right.
Become a regular caller so you can check out.
Well, my family's going to go up to Boston during the summertime, and I'd love to have my grandchildren see the stadium.
Oh, sure.
Fred will be happy to show you around.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Wait, before you go, what do you think of the draft?
Oh, I have mixed emotions. It seems like every year he goes crazy. Yeah, Belichick goes crazy and picks up somebody that we never heard of.
Yep.
But I like to wait until I see what happens during training camp and then during the year.
You're a wise man. You're wiser than us.
All right. Thanks, Tony.
thank you very much for all you do.
See you, Tony.
Right. Tony, that was very nice. Thank you.
Freddie, before you wrap it up, a quick tweet announcement from Paul's guy, Jeff Howe. Quote, just got word on Jeff Demps. Trade imminent.
Oh.
Maybe we should stay on.
Actually, Jeff Howe, breaking news.
Jeff has been on Jeff Howe has been on the Jeff Demps beat for a while. He seems to have a good in with that agent.
He's a big track guy, Jeff Howe.
Not an impressive agent either.
No?
I haven't cared for his comments and the handling and the tonality of the situation. I mean, when did Jeff Demps become God? When did he become Bo Jackson? I'll show up middle of the year. You're a JAG football player and a JAG track guy. You don't dictate to the NFL. They dictate to you.
You just like saying that word. All right, that's going to be it for this edition of the Patriots Draft Extravaganza here on Patriots.com. We'll be back Tuesday with a wrap-up show.
It'll be how my dick
what happened in the seventh round. Hey, thanks, everyone. If you listened from Thursday on to today,
sorry.
We really appreciate your support.
That was bad.
Yeah.
It's 9 hours. You can never get back.
And I apologize. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Peace.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.